It's been 2 years since the country was shocked by images of young inmates being restrained and hooded at the Don Dale Detention Centre in the Northern Territory. Since then, there's been a Royal Commission into Youth Detention in the NT and a number of reports from around the country recommending significant reforms to the juvenile justice sector. Just this month, the Victorian Human Rights Commission released a paper on the issue, which found a direct link between the well-being of Indigenous youth caught up in the system and the maintenance of Aboriginal cultural rights while in detention. Justin Muhammad was recently appointed to head up the Commission for Aboriginal Children and Young People, having previously served as the CEO of Reconciliation Australia, chair of the National Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation, or NACHO, and as a member of the Closing the Gap National Steering Committee. Justin, welcome to Speaking Out.
Thank you.
You obviously, if you look at the things you've chosen to do with your life, have a very strong sense of social justice. Where did that come from?
Look, I just think over many years you kind of live and breathe it, especially as a young person, and your parents and grandparents and things that happen to your family members. Even as a young person, you sit back and observe that, or it doesn't quite sink in until maybe later on in life that police and other authorities or how you're treated at school has an impact. And I just think deep down I've just always wanted to try to contribute to society in a way which can make a change. And there's no really better than, you know, if we can't get it right with the First Peoples of this country, and being so closely linked to that through my parents and my community in the Aboriginal community, I thought, well, this would be definitely a spot to do that. And as I kind of put my toe in the water and moved forward, especially as I turned 19, 20 and the years progressed, being with some great leaders and people which led me through many of the Aboriginal rights and Aboriginal affairs sort of processes, yeah, that just fed that desire to do more.
You've got a very strong background in health, having worked in the sector for over 25 years. Why are you so passionate about promoting better health outcomes for our people?
Yeah, I suppose it's, I keep telling people that I'm not a health practitioner because the next thing say, well, what do you specialise in? And I'll be the last person to come to if you want some sort of diagnosis or you know, got some health condition you need to be looked at.
So not to get diagnosed, but certainly in the policy area.
Not to get diagnosed by me, that is for sure. But I did, working in an organisation called Rumbler Aboriginal Cooperative in Shepparton, Victoria in my early 20s, that had a broad range, including the health service, but a whole lot of other areas around aged care and youth and housing and so forth. And at an age of, I think I was about 24, I just thought, if we can get the health part right, it's going to contribute to being able to access education better, employment, obviously the economy, and providing and living longer and be able to contribute more, better in the family. So that's where I kind of went into the health space. And it was really just taking one step at a time without any really clear plan what I was going to do, but realised that if we can change policy and the attitudes of government and other people in the sector, that the way Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people view health, it could be a very good fit in changing the health status that we are currently experiencing.
You've served on the board of NACHO, and with the other work you've done, you're quite well aware of the benefits of the community-led approach and the work of our community-led organisations. From your perspective, from what you've seen, how can governments better engage with these organisations?
I think understanding is a very, probably not as much focused on. We talk about working together and having partnerships and being joined and have joint projects or initiatives, but you can't really do that if you don't have an understanding of who you're working with or you're wanting to do something together with. And I think that's been, from the Aboriginal community controlled sector or the Aboriginal organisations, I think we've really worked hard to know how government works and know more about them. And I think for government to do the same, they need to spend that time to get a real good knowledge and to understanding and get to know the community they're working with, not just a community, but the individual community which they want to see change in or they want to contribute to. I think that's one of the pieces which sometimes goes missing because people want to jump in quickly and put a solution in without taking the time of that understanding and getting to know the value and the important things to that community and obviously and their issues.
Well, you've recently been appointed to the role of Victoria's Commissioner for Aboriginal Children and Young People. What are you hoping to achieve with this next new thing you've taken on?
Yeah, well, Larissa, it's a bit of a full circle. I've kind of told him my very first role when I was, I think I was about 20 years of age in Victoria, was a juvenile justice worker. I was one of three across the state, which clearly came out of the Royal Commission and Destined Custody's report back in the very early 90s. So I was one of three and basically trying to get a better understanding of the young person before they go to court and get a background of their family and presenting that to the magistrate so the magistrate has a better idea of what the full story about that young person. And that's kind of stuck with me. I mean, we always talk about the future of our community and of our nation, and obviously for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, we always talk about our young people and how important they are. But unfortunately, what we do see is that our young people are really struggling, especially in today's society where there's a lot of evidence there that shows that there's a lot of struggles and a lot of barriers to get across. And I don't think that's ever left me, of wanting to work with the next generation and providing that space and hopefully giving as many people as possible an opportunity to reach their aspirations and achieve what they dream about. And this is no different. It's just the people that I'm working with have got a lot of things on their plate in front of them. A lot of them, some of it isn't caused by them, especially out of home care. And some of the young people in our justice system, there has to be a better way than what we've been doing up to date, because we know those statistics are definitely not moving in the right area. So I'm hoping to look at it, bring a bit of a fresh approach, but working with the people that have been there and in the coalface because they know best, but wanting to hear the voices of young people and what is important to them and what do they think is the things that they need around them to support them through life.
Earlier this month, we saw the release of a report highlighting the need for greater cultural rights in youth justice. What does this mean in practice and why is it so important?
Yeah, look, I think it's paramount. I think it's really a centrepiece of if we are going to make a change and stop seeing the rates of incarceration, especially for our young people, we need to bring culture into the centre of this. And this report, which we did collectively with the Victorian Human Rights Commission, was something which we looked at within the detention centres, what's an area which we think could be improved on, and cultural rights is definitely one of these areas. We see, I think for too long, our detention centres for young people obviously focus on rehabilitation, things around safety and security and all these things which are very important. They have branched out a bit more into, say, we need better education and health while they're there. But we know as an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander young person, culture is very, very important, not only in terms of as a young person, but as you grow and develop and raise your own family. So this report focuses about having a strategic approach of how you bring and how you have cultural rights in the justice system for our young people when they're in there, and hopefully they can leave there in a stronger position from when they entered.
The Victorian government is developing a Koori Youth Justice Strategy. What are the key elements you'd like to see in it?
Well, obviously the recommendations out of this report would be great to be put into there. We're working closely with the Department of Youth Justice to ensure that this report can be part of their plan. We've got to be careful that we don't forget the voices of the young people. Sometimes a lot of older people, including myself now, you can sit around and think what's the right thing and what's the right measures to put into place. But we've got to combine that with the voices of the young people, because they really are living in a time which in this day and age is a lot different to when we were younger. So I don't think we can understand how it is. So the recommendations from the commission is ensuring that one is cultural is a central part, and whatever we do is that we are making sure we're taking the right steps to give our young people the best opportunity in life. And some of the things which we're doing now in trying to address the issues that are in front of us, the symptoms, isn't addressing the core root or the core of what hasn't been addressed in a young person, and some of that's around trauma and institutional racism and a whole range of things which has caused the young person to be in a spot where they may be now and involved in youth justice.
Obviously, the area of youth justice is one part of the sorts of things that your role would look at, and the other that you're very active in is the protection of children in out-of-home care. What sorts of issues are raised there, and what are you hoping can be improved in the way Aboriginal children are experiencing the out-of-home care environment?
Yeah, well, I'm pleased to say in Victoria, and this is not my work, I've been in the role for only a short time, but my predecessor, who was in there for the inaugural commissioner, Andrew Jacquemos, together with a number of people in Victoria from community as well as department, worked very close in this area and really changed, I think, the landscape of what out-of-home care can be and will be for Aboriginal young people in Victoria. Legislation got changed, and there is a real strategic approach with key targets to ensure that Aboriginal children are, one, keep a connection to community, two, that Aboriginal community organisations have a greater role with our young people when they're in out-of-home care, and we can do this collectively together with the department and the other non-government organisations, that the future of that young person is looked after right through their whole, from their very first contact with out-of-home care right through to when they are 18 years and above. So one of the things which I've learnt very quickly just being in this role with the cases I've looked over, speaking with young people and just getting around and speaking to people in general, is what is the difference between a young person succeeding and getting on and making something of their life to someone who's really struggling, just can't move forward? The main thing that comes up on a regular basis is either disconnection to their traditional community and their traditional lands, their identity and connection to culture. And when the young people that you see that are achieving, they're the things that are very prominent and strong in their lives. So the evidence is there, I think, and I don't think any Aboriginal person would say that it wouldn't be the case, but to have that put into the system and have that connected around in a strategic approach is something which I think State of Victoria are trying to get right at the moment.
Justin, a lot of your work's really focused at the coalface. As you mentioned, you started off doing youth work and you've looked at health policy. And so it's been very practical and working deeply in the community. I was wondering what your views are on the relationship between this coalface work and the big picture questions that the community ponders, like a treaty and constitutional recognition. What role do those big picture conversations have to the sort of work you do every day?
Look, they're very important. I mean, I don't think we can move forward as a nation, let alone as a people, if we don't have both what's confronting us on a daily basis, which is the coalface, you know, the hands-on things, which we've got to address. We just can't leave them. But as well as at the same time looking at the future. And the key thing around areas of treaty and constitutional recognition or changes to the constitution, they're the big pieces which I think will give us the roadmap, and so we're able to move forward collectively as a nation to making this country better than what it is and valuing the contribution of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So the big picture parts are very important. Part of the role of the commission is obviously there is the day-to-day component, and one of the reasons I took this on is thinking, well, you know, this could build for a better future, and we need to have strong, I think, pillars within our society which keeps bringing us back on the track. And I think things like treaty, constitution, having a voice, a national voice, these things are very important, I think, not for so much for the here and now, but for the years to come and the generations that are coming through.
Just finally tonight, obviously the areas you work in, juvenile justice, out-of-home care, are really quite stressful for people who work in them every day. Can you share with us what you do to unwind and relax and build up your resilience?
Yeah, I mean, it is difficult. I think just a bit of a long-winded answer to your question, because I think it's you can rattle off the normal things, you know, family, friends and time out, but really I think there's a time in your life when you think if you are in a position that you can do this. And at the time in my life, my wife and I, we've got 5 children. They're all, our youngest is 19, so they're kind of through that schooling part and going on to their next chapter in their lives. I've got a very supportive wife who understands this area so well. So that's a key strength for me. And my connection, obviously, to family, but taking time out to make sure I invest into those areas is very important, because if you don't, you know, then not strong enough to take on the challenges that will confront you and that are can confront us on a daily basis. So taking the time to spend time with the ones who know you best and obviously are your best, biggest supporters is very important.
Justin, thank you so much for joining us on Speaking Out tonight and sharing with us a bit about your journey and what you hope to achieve in your exciting new role.
Thank you.
Justin Muhammad is the Victorian Commissioner for Aboriginal Children and Young People.